not from you. Tajami, I shall give up. Dayatam, very dear. Dvijadeva, by Lord Brahma, the demigod, worshipped by the Brahmanas. Datam, given. Yasmin, unto whom. Manaha, mind. Drik, eyes. Api, also. Naha, my. Navyati, do not go away. Lagnam, tightly attached. Mam, me. Charushringi, O woman with beautiful raised breasts. Arhasi, you ought. Netum, to lead. Anuvatam, follower. Te, your. Chittam, desire. Yataha, wherever. Patisharantu, may follow. Shivaha, favorable. Savyaha, Sachivyaha, friends. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Lord Brahma, who is worshipped by the Brahmanas, has very mercifully given you to me, and that is why I have met you. I do not want to give up your company, for my mind and eyes are fixed upon you and cannot be drawn away. O woman with beautiful raised breasts, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like, and your friends may also follow me. Purport. Now Agnidra frankly admits his weakness. He was attracted to Purvachati, and therefore, before she could say, "But I have no business with you," he expressed his desire to be united with her. He was so attracted that he was ready to go anywhere, hell or heaven, in her company. When one is absorbed in lust and the influence of sex, one surrenders to the feet of a woman without reservations. Srila Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Rasabihari Ji Ki Jai. Na tvam tujami dayatam dvija deva datam yasmin mano jagapino na vidyati lagnam mam charu shringyar hasi netram anuvratam te chittam yata pratishashrantu shiva sachivyaha. Om Jnana Tumandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam nadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yata parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakhanvitamscha nama om vishnu padaya krishna pristaya bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kaupa tubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gurumukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat kripa tamaham vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram Hare Krishna. So it is my good fortune to be here today at Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Ji Mandir here in Juhu, Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada's office. May bahut bhagyavan hai. Before I begin to speak, I would like to take the blessings of all the devotees that are present that I may speak for my own purification. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter. And this chapter is entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. There is a saying that there's nothing that a goat won't eat and a fool won't say. So this concept is resonating throughout this verse, as Prabhupada is mentioning in the end of the purport. He's quoting Srila Madhvacharya. Srila Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. So we're seeing Maharaj Agnidra, and he's attracted to Purva Chitti, and due to this attraction, he's speaking so many things, so many crazy words, and he's flattering her, and he's saying anything and everything just with the desire to attract her, to possess her, to enjoy her. There's nothing that a goat won't eat and a fool won't say. By the powers of the attraction for man for woman and woman for man, one can say anything and one can do anything. And we'll discuss this in the class today. And that our only hope that Maya will not victimize us is the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. And by receiving transcendental knowledge from them, our eyes will be opened and we won't have to say all these crazy things. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who's given us the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can gain this knowledge and be protected from such an embarrassing situation. Before I begin the class today, I'd also like to make a disclaimer that whatever concepts are applying that woman is Maya for man, it also applies the other way, that man is Maya for woman. So we should see this in a balanced situation, that this is not a sexist statement that women are Maya and men are not Maya. Man is Maya for woman and woman is Maya for man. It applies both ways. Srila Prabhupada has said that men are very good and women are very good, but you put them together and then that's bad. Then you get trouble. You get difficulty. So just to review, we're hearing Shukadev Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. King Priyavrata is ruling Jambudweep, and his son Maharaj Agnidra is put in charge of the kingdom to continue Priyavrata's rule. Maharaj Agnidra desired a son. So he went to a cave up in the mountain of Mandara to practice tapasya, austerity. And in reciprocation with his austerities, Lord Brahma, he sends Purva Chitti, a very, very beautiful woman. So then Maharaj Agnidra is attracted by her form. And later we'll see in the chapter, she will also be attracted by his sweet words. And that brings us to the shloka today. Natvam ca jami dayatam dvija devi datam. So he is understanding, Maharaj Agnidra is understanding the presence of Purva Chitti by the mercy of Lord Brahma, that this is a great opportunity for me, and it is by the mercy of Lord Brahma. And this is a very healthy attitude, actually, that whenever something favorable comes in our direction, we should see it as the mercy of our superiors. And Lord Brahma is the great grandfather, Mahapita. He's the grandfather of the universe. And he's the head of our sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he's saying, oh, this beautiful woman has appeared, and it's by the mercy of Lord Brahma. Yasmin manodrig api nona vidyanti lagnam. I don't want to give up your company. He's been speaking for several verses, glorifying the beautiful features of this girl. And because of her great beauty, he just does not want to give up her company. He wants to associate with her. Mancharu sringa hasinetram anuvritam te. His mind and his eyes are fixed upon her beautiful features. Chittam yata pratisasvantu shiva sachivyaha. So you can take me anywhere. You can take me to hell. You can take me to heaven. You can take me anywhere. You're so beautiful. I don't care. And your friends can also come with me. No problem. I'm willing to go anywhere with you because you are so beautiful. So Maya is very strong. Devyesha gunamayi mama maya durateya mame vaye prapadyante mayame tantarantite. That Devyesha gunamayi, this material energy, is so powerful because mama maya, it's Krishna's energy. Mama means mine. Krishna says this energy is my energy. Mama maya duratyaya. Duratyaya means very, very difficult to overcome. And as I spend year after year in the Krishna consciousness movement trying to overcome maya, I can understand that this is an understatement. Maya is extremely difficult to overcome. But we must endeavor to the greatest of our capacity with full sincerity to take shelter of Krishna through Guru's instructions, through Srimad Bhagavatam, through Bhagavat Prasadam, through Vaishnav Seva, and through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday, His Grace Nisinganda Prabhu and some other devotees and I were having lunch together. And he was relating a wonderful pastime of Srila Prabhupada in New York. Srila Prabhupada had just given sannyas to a devotee named Dristadyumna, who was Dristadyumna Maharaj. And he was very young. He must have been in his early 20s. And Prabhupada said, "It is very difficult to give sannyas to so many young men, and maya is so strong. Many of you may fall away and lose your sannyas. But we are in a war against maya. And in a war, in a battlefield, in an army, you need many soldiers and leaders. So I have given sannyas in order to create leaders in my army against maya." And he said, "Just look at all these skyscrapers in New York City. These skyscrapers are created because there are so many beautiful women in New York." And he asked Dristadyumna Maharaj, do you think there are many beautiful women in New York? There are so many beautiful women in New York, right?" And Dristadyumna Maharaj was a sannyasi. He didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada said, "These skyscrapers have come up because all the men in New York are controlled by the beautiful women. And because of them, they've built these skyscrapers." So the beauty of a woman can easily control a man. Men are easily controlled by what they see. The strength of Maya for men is in the eyes. And the strength of Maya for women is in the ears. Like you see, Maharaj Agnidra is convincing Purvachitti by so many sweet words. So he's falling prey to her beautiful form, and she'll fall prey to his beautiful, sweet words. Of course, the form of a man is also attractive to a woman, and the beautiful, sweet voice of a woman is also attractive to man. But this is also an interesting concept, that man is more susceptible to the visual concept, and the woman is more successful to the oral concept. There's a great challenge that we may be victimized by beauty. One person can do anything for beauty. We hear many stories of contemporary men who, because of a beautiful woman, they would commit murder. And it is said that a beautiful wife is an enemy. Why is that the case? Because someone may want your beautiful wife and may kill you for her. So a beautiful wife is very dangerous. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked, "Why are these men bowing down to you?" Prabhupada said, "I can be in a room filled with 100 naked women and not be disturbed, but you cannot." So because of Prabhupada's wonderful sense control, his greatness, everyone would come and offer their respects and pranams. Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. We should try to overcome our attractions to the material forms. But it's difficult. It's like butter and fire. If man comes in contact with woman, then there is difficulty. Man is like butter and woman is like fire. And when they come together, then there is melting. Sridhar Swami explains there are 9 different kinds of illicit sexual activities. And it begins with thinking about a woman, or a woman thinking about a man. It begins with talking and joking, as we're hearing in today's verse. So we should be very careful and sober in our dealings with the opposite sex. It should be on a basis of service only, and that should be in a very sober mood. We should avoid joking and talking like this. Even Lord Chaitanya, he would never joke with a woman. And even with his wife, Vishnupriya, he would not even joke with her, maybe one time. So we should be very, very sober in our dealings with the opposite sex. And we should try to overcome these allurements with knowledge, divya gyan. What is it we're being allured to, actually? The body is made of urine, blood, pus, stool, bile, mucus. Why are we so attracted? If the attractive parts of a woman were detached from her body and put on a steel tray, would we be attracted to them? No. It's just little pieces of flesh, and we should not be attracted to them. And generally, we're attracted when the pieces of the body are young. So sometimes we may be attracted, but we can think, what would happen to this body in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and then death and turning into dust. This is one way to avoid the attractions. But the best way is the intelligent man will see all women as mother. If we can see a woman as mother, then we will not have this attraction to her. Gurumukha para chitte kuriya akya. By hearing from the lotus lips of Guru, then our consciousness will become purified. The attraction of the form of woman is very strong. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy that even a man is attracted to the form of a woman in a wooden doll in a shop window showing some sari or something. So it's very, very powerful. So in order to overcome this, we need to get a higher taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishtvanavartate. That one can only overcome attractions to the material energy by attaining a higher taste. Just like you may be very hungry, you may be fasting for several days, and all there is to eat is a plate of khichdi from last week. It's turning green, it's smelling bad, but you're so hungry, you want to eat it. I say, no, no, don't eat that. I try to take the plate away, but still the plate is there, you want to eat. Then I said, here, take this nice plate, fresh, hot, mahaprasadam, rice, dal, sabji, chapati, rasgulla, gulab jamun. Then definitely you'll take that plate. So that's like the concept of a higher taste. You can give up the lower thing, but only if you have a higher thing. So we should strive to get a higher thing. And we get that higher thing in three S's. Sangha, sadhana, and sadachar. Sangha means associating with devotees, hearing and chanting. Sadhana means getting up early, attending Mangalartik, morning program, as Srila Prabhupada has given us. Sadachar means practicing what we preach, preaching Krishna consciousness, serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Yari daka tari kaho, Krishna upadesh, amara agya guru hoy, tar edesh. Means that we should take this message and distribute it to others. I wanted to give a few examples of devotees that have been victimized by women and are saying and doing all kinds of things. One example is Ajamil. He was a young Brahmin boy, very nice boy, serving his family, sent to the forest by his father to collect some wood for the yajna. Swaha. He went there collecting wood. He saw a Shudrani and a Shudra embracing. He got attracted to her. And then he left his wife, he left his parents, and he brought that Shudrani and he lived with her. He had 8, 9 children with her till he was 80 years old. Just see, just because attracted to women, he gave up his wife, he gave up his family. One will do all kinds of crazy things just because of attraction to women. Luckily, when the Yamadutas came to catch him, he chanted out, Narayan! And then the Vishnu Dutas saved him. Saved by the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then there's the story of liquid beauty. There was a very aristocratic person, went to someone's home, saw a beautiful girl. It's because of her beauty. She wanted to marry her. She said, come back in 1 week. During the week, she drank all kinds of medicines and purgatives. She was vomiting. She was passing stool. She kept all of it in containers. And after 1 week, he came back and she answered the door. And she said, yes. And he said, where is that beautiful woman? And she said, I was she. Where is your beauty? And he said, come and see. And she showed him all the containers filled with stool and vomit. And he became repulsed. Ah! And he gave up his idea of marrying her. But he was not Krishna conscious, so I think maybe he probably got attracted to someone else again. Because that higher taste principle wasn't there. It's like the realization in the burning ghat. You know that you go to the burning ghat and then, oh, you see death is coming. But then after a short time, you lose the realization. Like here, many of the brahmacharis are becoming fixed up and they don't want to get married. And then they go and they see the burning ghat. They see so many marriage festivals here in Radharas Vihari Mandir. So this is the Vivaha Samskar, you know, they see that Samskar going on. Last night I was in the Brahmachari Ashram on 6th floor, and you could see on the rooftop below this huge marriage yajna going on. It's like the burning ghat. So you see that and you realize, oh, it's going on, let me be more careful. Like that. So when we see this, we should remember that we need to be very careful in our dealings with the opposite sex, so that those desiring to remain brahmachari, they can continue to do so. Another pastime is that of Bilva Mangala Thakur. So Bilva Mangala Thakur, he was very attached to a prostitute named Chintamani. And he was so lusty and because of her beauty that every night he would have to go and see her. Even he went to his father's Shraddha ceremony and he was telling the priests, hurry up, make haste, I have to go. So they finished the ceremony and there was a big thunderstorm. And it was raining. But still he was running through the night to meet Chintamani. And he came across a great river. And he was swimming through the river, through the thunder, through the rain. He was swimming and swimming. And he started to drown in the middle of the river. And then he caught a hold of something. He thought it was a log, a piece of wood, luckily. And he swam across holding this thing, and when he reached the other side, he saw that it was not a log. It was a corpse, a dead body. He climbed onto the bank, and Chintamani was thinking, it's too late. Bilva Mangala will not come. It's raining. And she locked the gate. And he arrived at her place, and he was crying out, Chintamani, Chintamani, Chintamani. But there was so much rain and thunder and she could not hear. So he tried to climb the wall, but he couldn't climb the wall. And then he grabbed the tail of a snake, the tail of a cobra, and climbed up with the cobra and came inside her house. He was banging on the window and she let him inside and he was practically dead. And she nursed him back to life, and she said, my dear friend, if you had the same amount of love for Lord Krishna as you have for me, then you would be liberated, your life would be successful. Haribo! And he accepted Chintamani's words. He accepted her as his guru, Vartma Pradarshika guru. Later he took Diksha from Samagiri, and he received the name Lila Sukha because he was so expert at narrating the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Later he was traveling to Vrindavan and he got attracted to a Brahmini and he followed her home. And the husband said, what can I do for you? He said, I want to embrace your wife. So he said, he's our guest, you embrace him, dress yourself nicely, let him in, enjoy. So then he was with her. And he said, my dear mother, he called her mother, seeing that he accepted her as mother, can you please give me one of your hairpins? So she gave it to him. And he said, these eyes, because of seeing beautiful forms, are causing me so many problems. And he took the hairpin and he plunged it into his eyes. Ah! And then no longer be attracted to these sense objects. He went to Vrindavan and Lord Krishna himself was bringing him milk and he would sing these beautiful songs about Radha and Krishna, and Krishna would be forced to come there. Krishna would be so much attracted and he would try to catch Krishna's hands and Krishna would run away. Krishna was playing his flute, so he knew it was Krishna. And he said to Krishna that, "You have run away. I cannot catch your hand. You have escaped my hand, but you cannot escape from my heart." Sri Bhava Mangala Thakur Ki. So he wrote so many beautiful books about Krishna Leela, and he overcame this attraction to the physical form of woman, and he fully absorbed himself in the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. So in conclusion, we should seek great Sangha, the association of devotees, especially those devotees who are renounced, who are not intimately connected with women. And in this way, we will also gain further renunciation. We should have strong sadhana. We should attend mandir, morning program, 16 malas minimum. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we should have strong sadachara. We should preach very strongly, in this way getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. I'd like to express my gratitude to all of you for listening so attentively this morning. We're very grateful to all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. And then we have Nisinganda next. Is there a microphone?
Is Kali not more powerful than Maya?
Can you say again?
Is Kali?
Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga not more powerful than Maya?
Is Kali Yuga more powerful than Maya? This is a difficult question for me to answer. I had never considered the topic before. It's like you have two enemies you're fighting, right? Which one is more powerful? They're working as a team. Kali is promoting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. These are the four pillars of Kali Yuga. And Maya Devi, she's also encouraging these things. So there are two energies working together. Devi Esha Guna Mayi, Mama Maya Dratyaya. So Maya is very, very powerful. It's Krishna's energy. And Kali is also Krishna's energy. But I would say that Maya is more powerful than Kali. Because Kali is only here in this one yuga. But Maya is here in every yuga.
But in every yuga, the potency of Maya will be different. In Satyuga, it will be less like that, I suppose.
Yes, in every yuga, the potency of Maya is different. Satyuga, Maya's potency is less. In Dwapara Yuga, in Treta Yuga, maybe 25%.
Addition.
Treta Yuga. And then 50% in the next Yuga, which is?
Treta
Yuga. And then 75% Dwapara Yuga. And now Kali Yuga, 100% is coming.
And what is the reference of Jambudvip? Which is the place now equivalent to Jambudvip?
Well, I was just reading in the chapter. I always make a habit to do the review, go back to the beginning of chapter and see what is going on. And Jambudvip is a place where King Priyavrata, he was in charge of the residence of Jambudvip. And as far as where is Jambudvip in connection with the, you know, interplanetary systems, Vedic planetarium kind of thing, must be one of the upper planetary systems.
Not on the earth.
Not of the earth.
Thank you.
We have a question from this, or a comment from Nisinganda Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Ekalavya Prabhu, thank you so much for that class, which many, since Srila Prabhupada's left, there have been many thousands, tens of thousands of classes, but I have to say that is probably the most perfect class I have heard in many, many decades. And I want to thank you very much. If anyone agrees, let's give Ekalavya a big hand, because that is great. Especially because it was 30 minutes practically to the dot. That was really good. I did have a question. Now it's escaped my mind. But the fact that Vibhavangala Thakur poked his eyes, eradicated his sight, the question arises, did he really, or is it possible for someone to take away the desire by eliminating the senses, one of the senses, or a number of the senses? In other words, doesn't the subtle desire continue to live, so that if one were to think that, oh, well, let me blind myself, and therefore I will be liberated from the tendency for to be attracted to the female form, then in my next life I'll be free from that. When in my understanding is we carry our desire, subtle desires in the mind, so therefore it would have no effect and we wouldn't get a chance to purify ourselves in this lifetime. And that has always baffled me by this particular example, and I don't know the answer, and be appreciated.
Yeah, thank you for your kind question, Nisinganda Prabhu. If I understand your question correctly, you're asking that this Vibhavangala Thakur, he blinded himself, and is it that all desires would go just from removing one sense, or would some desires remain situated within the mind, within the other senses? Is that right? Then give him the mic.
And then you wouldn't have the opportunity in this life to purify yourself by the sadhana of seeing that form but remaining detached.
Yeah. So then the second part of it is that if that was the case, if you did that, then the opportunity would be gone to continue purifying yourself through that sense. So thank you for your nice question. I've had this question for many years and asked a number of devotees also. When I first heard this story, I was perplexed. Now, how is it that, you know, is it that we should have in the gift shop, you know, japa malas and books and hairpins? You know, it doesn't make sense to me. Then, but this is a case of a great devotee, a great Vaishnava, and one cannot understand the mind of a Vaishnava. So he chose to do that. That is his special lila. We don't recommend you try this at home. This is not the recommended process to remove a sense. The recommended process is to purify the senses, particularly the mind, as you said. And our process is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. This chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I feel that this hairpin blinding himself with a hairpin, this was an expression of his sincerity. As this is personal, creative expression in his bhajan, in his devotional service, that he saw for his service, this is what he wanted to do. And he did it. And as a result of being blinded, he expressed his sincerity and he continued his Krishna consciousness, and he excelled in Krishna consciousness, particularly hearing and chanting. He wrote songs about Krishna, he chanted those songs. So he continued chanting. Actually, another way of looking at it is his blinding himself is an expression of an anartha, of not having faith that just by practicing the 9 practices of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam, not by just practicing those, he would fully purify himself. He felt he had to do something external to shut down one of the senses. So another way of looking at it is this is an anartha that he expressed due to not being fully purified by advancing in Krishna consciousness through these 9 processes. Yet, despite such an anartha, he continued the process. He continued hearing and chanting, and he became successful. What do you think?
I think that's a safe explanation because we've seen in the history of ISKCON, devotees speculate on what kind of things they do to themselves for quote unquote service. Some have done terrible austerities and not treated their bodies properly. And Prabhupada condemned that. When I was in New York in 71, Prabhupada was giving lectures from Queen Kunti. And he was saying every day, eat less, sleep less. So I was just a bhakta and I was taking Prabhupada's words without any interpretation. So I was ending up, you know, sleeping 4 hours a night and, you know, doing extra service and doing that, you know, just, and I went down to skin and bones, and then Prabhupada was there for quite some time, and I lost a lot of weight very, very rapidly. I was much skinnier than you are.
Wow, that's a lot.
And so Prabhupada told Karunda, the temple president, he said, pointed to me, I didn't know this at the time, I learned later, he said, that boy should eat more prasadam, give that boy more prasadam. So in the lunchtime when the devotees would give the chapat, you know, the rotis and everything, they would come to me and they would offer me extra because I would never ask for anything extra just because I was trying to eat less. So I'm thinking to myself, Maya is so strong. Look at now the devotees are trying to get me to eat more. So I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it anymore. I ended up in the hospital and away from the devotees for quite a while. So, I was speculating on things. And I think it's really important to take that sadhu sangha, not do anything without great consultation and deliberation in the context of all the instructions. We're not on the platform of a Bibalanga Thakur, nor am I even on the platform of understanding him, or even that story totally. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't quite understand the story of Junior Haridas either. You know, these are way over my head. And I just come to accept it that, I'm just not going to get there in this lifetime probably.
I'd like to thank you for emphasizing the principle that we should consult with Sadhu Sangha, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. This is how we can be sure if something is proper. So we should not do anything extreme. We should always consult with the senior devotees. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, one last point and then we'll conclude.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. We are not Bilva Mangala Thakuras. Instead of taking the extreme step of blinding their eyes, can we not follow Gandhari that we can cover our eyes and practice Krishna consciousness?
Wonderful suggestion. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he gives some recommendations for improving the quality of japa. And one of them is that one should begin chanting one's japa and covering one's head with a chadar so that one cannot see anything and be distracted like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So yes, you are in parampara. Thank you. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Bahun, Bahun, Dhanyavad.